Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No matter how busy you are, you should have time for God's Word. All right? Always have time for the Word of God. Okay? Create that time. On this earth, you can't be busier than Jesus was while he walked on the earth. All right? He was so popular, the Bible says that when he got into town, lots of people surrounded his house. But you know what? The Bible says early in the morning, he'll take out time to go pray. He could have said, I'm God himself. In fact, me and God is not Bluetooth. We are one. So I don't need to pray. As I'm walking, there are people like that. They don't spend time praying. They try to cheat God with shortcuts. So they say, as I'm in the bus, I'm speaking to God right now. Say, did you pray today? As I'm talking to you, I'm praying to God right now. We are connected. No, you take out time to pray because he is important. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you in this place? When something is important, you give it time. You give it attention. All right? Give it time and attention. If I gave you 20 naira, and I said, go and give to PK. You can greet everybody as you're going. Right? How are you? What's this 20 naira? Oh, it's for PK. How are you? What's this 20 naira? Oh, how are you? Then you meet PK. I'm supposed to give you something. You've misplaced the 20 naira. But you won't care because it's 20 naira. So, let me give you another one. But if I gave you a check of 20 million naira to go and give PK, you won't greet people. So that's good one. You give it attention. Because it's important, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If you bought a car, and every car is important, but a Nissan Bluebird, you parked it outside, you might not care so much. If you bought a Ferrari, you would really care. You'd ask plenty of questions before you go to that place. Is there security there? How do they treat cars there? Do they scratch cars there? Maybe I should take Uber. Why? Because it's important, praise the Lord. So if fellowship with God is important with you, don't try to be too smart with God. Create that time and spend time with him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And be consistent. Even if it's 10 minutes, be consistent. Even if it's 15 minutes, be consistent. There are people who say, you know, I don't have time. When I have time, I'll pray. But you're wasting time. Someone says, how can I just spend 10 minutes with God? I need 20 minutes. Well, if you don't spend that 10 minutes, you won't spend any time at all. And that is worse. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
So give time, create time for the things of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want to talk about the seed strategy today. The seed strategy. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I want us to look at something very insightful. So let's start. Go to Luke 8. Luke 8, verse 4. This is a song. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands towards heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands towards heaven and praise the Lord. Simple, isn't it? Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
So let's sing it together. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands towards heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands towards heaven and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Verse 4. Let's read it together. 1, 2, go.
When multiple were gathered together and he came to him out of every city, he spake by a parable,
It's fine.
The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it.
Are you reading it?
Yes, Pastor.
All right. So he says, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. That means people stepped on it. And the fowls of the air did what? Devoured it. All right. Verse 6. Let's read.
And some fell upon the rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture.
So the ones that fell on the rock grew immediately. All right? Fast growth. But as fast as it grew, that same way it withered away because it lacked what? Moisture. Verse 7.
And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it.
Evil thorns choked the seed. Verse 8.
And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and yielded fold.
Stop. Stop. It says, and others fell on good ground and did what? Sprang up. Not immediately, but they sprang up. And bear fruit what? And hundredfold. Times 100. All right. I'll read it. Just look at this. It says, and when he had said these things, he cried. That means he shouted. He that had ears to hear, let him what?
Yeah.
This has become my favorite quote this year. Because people have ears, but they don't use it to hear. But I want you to talk, they still will not hear. So you see, Jesus has a quote for you. He says, if you have ears, use it to do what?
Yes.
Hear. Verse 9. No. Just pay attention, all right? So I'll be fast. You guys are really slow. And his disciples. Okay. Verse 9. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? So they asked him, hey, what's this parable about? Verse 10. And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So this parable, all right,
yes,
encapsulates mysteries in the kingdom of God. How the kingdom of God functions. All right?
Yes, Pastor.
All right. So it says, unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. So he's saying, the reason why I'm speaking in parables, so that they would see and not see, and hearing they will not understand. That's so unfair. Right? Verse 11. Now, the parables is now when you want, you can go back to Matthew 13 or Mark 4 and you see a lot of explanation. But I like Luke 8 because it's precise. Remember, the message is seed strategy. So I want to go straight to the point. He says, now the parable is this. He's going to explain the parable. All right? Because I'm listening to him and he's saying, a sower went out to sow his seed. Some fell by the wayside, some by the rocks. So I'm thinking it's a plant and I wonder what type of seed. Orange seed? You know, what type of seed is he talking about? So now he's going to explain the parable and he says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So that seed that is being sown is God's word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Oh, so the word of God is sown for people to hear. I'm in this place, like you're listening to me right now. You're hearing. That means seed is being planted. Whether you're conscious or not, someone is planting seeds. I'm talking, so I'm planting seeds. So it says, the word of God is the seed. It says, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be what?
Saved.
He's very precise here. He says, the devil comes to steal the word, lest they should believe and be saved. Lest they should believe and the word helps them in their situation. So someone comes to steal the word. Verse 13. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. There are people like that. You hear the word, you receive it with joy. He says, and these have no roots, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Meaning they believe the word of God for 2 months. Afterwards, they don't believe anymore. He says, in time of temptation, because there is a time of temptation, the word of God you hear would have to be proved, would have to be tested. That's why we write exams in school. You write exams to prove that you learned something in class. So when the word of God comes to you, you have to prove that you know the word. So it says in time of temptation, when they have to prove that word, they fall away. Why? Because they had no roots. They can say the nice things Christians say, but deep down, they don't really believe. There's no roots. Paul says, I can never fail. How did I fail now? The failure, in quotes, came to test what you've been saying. So what do? You insist on what you know. I've said it before. If you paid your school fees and they came to class and they said, we are going to call the names of all those that have not paid school fees, you will not be moved. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
They call different people, say, ah, sorry. Sorry, ah, you too. Sorry. But you will not be moved. If they mention your name, would you say, ah, so me too? No. As long as you know you paid your school fees, it doesn't matter if it is the VC that comes and says you have not paid, you would argue. Are you in this place?
Yes,
you would insist. You know you paid. You bring the receipts because you know what you know. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So he said that when you hear the word of God, temptations would come to prove what you know. So you insist. And those temptations will not come and you'll be feeling nice. Let me tell you something. Temptations don't come and you're smiling. Ha, this temptation is nice. So, hey, praise God for this temptation. No, it will touch you. That's why it's a temptation. Are you in this place?
Yes,
it will touch you. It will stand as against everything you know in God's word. But then you insist. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
All right. So he says, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Verse 14. Just give me 14 and 15 together, right? Verse 14. And they which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth. They hear service close, they go forth. And are choked. Have you heard popular joke? Jesus said it first. All right. It says, and are choked with cares. No, you're here in church, and the word of God is being planted, but you're thinking about your house rent. Now the word cannot profit you. After service, what you're thinking about is the house rent. That thought chokes the word of God. It says, and are choked with cares. But that's not all. And riches. After service, think about where you go and eat. No, not Cold Stone today. There's this popular restaurant in VI. Those thoughts, it says, has a tendency to choke the word. It says, and pleasures of this life. You just want to flex. Nothing wrong with it. It says, and bring no fruit towards perfection. There are people who go to church ceremonially. It's just ceremony, you know, to network. Pleasures of this life. They said, you mean the CEO of Diamondback is in that church? I'm going there. So what church you attend? When you ask them what church you attend, they say, the one that the CEO of Zenith is attending. What's the name of that church again? They know the name. They just want you to know the people there. Praise the Lord. How can they pay attention to God's word and be blessed? Choked. Verse 15. See, that's my church. He choked. Okay. All right, verse 15. It says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest, oh boy, and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
They keep it. They don't let it go. They don't let too much talk after service make them forget what they learned. I mean, you learn something on Sunday, on Monday, you don't even remember. Why? Because of that lecturer or that football match. No, he says, they on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. And bring forth fruit with what? Patience. They might not shout during service, but they will meditate on the word. He says, they will bring forth fruit with what? Patience. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Did you get that?
Yes, Pastor.
Now listen to this. Every seed has in it a potential to produce fruits. Every tree you see today, all right, was once a seed, one seed. Pay attention to me. Now that seed grows and has fruits that has many other seeds that have potential to be more trees. Are you seeing that? And they grow and produce more fruit. So you see, it's a chain. If carefully, if in a controlled environment, that one seed can become a forest, many forests. So it is the potential of the seed. So the seed has the ability to produce fruits or produce fruits. That's how powerful a seed is. Now, in your life, you have the word of God. And the word of God is telling you is a seed. Meaning that God's plan when you hear the word of God is that it will produce fruits in your life. Not just one fruit. Various fruits. They can affect every sphere of your life. Your job, your family, every part of your life. Just like the seed can become a tree that has many fruits and many seeds. That word of God you hear should become a tree and produce lots of fruits that will affect every area of your life. Now, when a seed has grown to become a tree and has many fruits, it will be hard to destroy that tree. If you want, let's say, are you in this place?
Yes,
please pay attention to me. Let's say I planted a seed and it grew, became a tree, and there are many fruits. And someone doesn't like me, all right, and said, how can you have so many fruits? So I'm going to destroy your results, all right? Person has two options now that the seed has become a tree. Either to try to cut the tree, which will be hard because it's not easy to cut a tree. If a person is trying to cut the tree, I'll catch the person. Praise the Lord. And arrest the person. Okay? Or the person will try to destroy the fruits one by one, which will be hard because you can't destroy all the fruits. When I was in school, I think primary school, now, thank you. There's this tree that has these sweet fruits that you pluck and you just watch and bite. What's the name of that fruit? Eh? It's called fruit. I know that's not the name. I know it's Nigeria. Eh?
Almonds.
Gideon. Indian almonds. Really? No wonder we just made it fruit. Because how can you say, where are you going to? And the good man come, but waiting, I won't go thief Indian almond. Why you say no, catch you? Fruit. All right. So, my classmates, not me, used to go to some compound and they will stone the tree so the fruit will fall down. But no matter how much, and they usually catch them, no matter how much they stone the tree, they can't take all the fruits. Okay? So it takes more. At times it's not ripe, other times. What we used to do then was we'll stay, let them go and pick for us. All right? Okay. My point is, if someone wanted to take my result, it would be difficult. They can't cut the tree. They can't steal all the fruits. So anybody who really wants to stop me should stop me at the seed stage. When it's still a seed. You see that? Because it's one seed. All they have to do is to take it. Then that tree will not materialize. Then those fruits will not materialize. Because it's fruits. If you steal one, another one will grow. If there are 100 fruits, you can only take as many as you can. You can't take everything. So if the enemy wanted to stop me, he should stop me before I planted the seed. Once he can take the seed, he has taken the tree. He has taken the fruits. He has taken everything. So now, God, Jesus is telling us, go to Luke 8. Go back to Luke 8. Luke 8. Verse 10. Oh, let's start from verse 12. Luke 8, verse 12. Verse 12, come on. Why are you pointing the system? Okay, look into your Bible. Luke 8, verse 12. Okay, thank you. After service, someone block Philip for me. Right, I'm serious. Okay, and give him money. Okay, but so, okay, that's true. I have money for someone today. So I'm going to ask a question during service. If you answer, I'll give you money. All right, okay. Some people are not okay. Who answered yes, Pastor? Was it Kolade? Come and take money. How much should I give you now? The reason why I have money, because I remember I left money in my pocket. So, for answering, buy a charge card.
Thank you, Pastor.
All right, praise the Lord. Verse 12. He says, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taking away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be what? Saved. So Satan comes at the seed stage. He understands the importance of the seed stage. He doesn't wait till he produces results. That means when the word of God comes to you, the word of God comes to produce results at every sphere of your life, at different spaces and at different time intervals. For example, there's a word you hear today that might influence your life 5 years from now, 2 years from now, even tomorrow. All right?
Yes,
and so at times the challenge might come tomorrow and you win it. 2 years from now, maybe not. 5 years from now, and you win it. So if Satan wants to throw challenges at you, we already have the fruits of the word. He might not win, and he will not win. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But if God attacked the word at the seed stage, then you're left exposed. He says, he comes and takes the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So, and when you read Matthew 13, he says, don't understand the word. They don't understand the word. So those by the wayside are those that when they come to church, they don't understand the word. They are distracted. And so look at the future. When the word comes, there's a future. You look ahead. The word comes to produce results that will influence your future. That will influence your life, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That will influence your present. But if you don't understand the word, that fruit of righteousness, you will not see. Satan has defeated you before you even had a chance. And so when you come to church, what are the steps to understand the word? Firstly, be present. You have to be in the presence of the word. Number two, you fight off distractions. Distractions are part of it. That's how Satan gets you distracted, so you don't hear the word. Now you're checking your phone. You didn't even hear the other thing that was said. And you can't join the two together. You think it's a joke. He's just taking a part of your future. So distractions, you fight off distractions. Then you pay attention. You fight to pay attention. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. You fight to pay attention. Go to Colossians 1, verse 9. Do you know God is ahead of you in terms of time?
Yes, Pastor.
Meaning he's seen your 2024, your 2025.
Yes.
And there are some challenges there that's what you need to do at that point. It's not to plant seed, but to reap harvests. And so right now he tells you, or he sows seeds into your life. So by the time it's 2024, you'll have the harvest. But when you don't pay attention in church, when you miss out on the word of God, what's going to happen to you? I'm just remembering Peter, 9th Peter. All right. The Bible tells us that Jesus was talking, and Peter said, I'll die for you. He was the first person to sing that song. And Jesus said, you, would you die for me? He said, the cup will not grow until you deny me 3 times. And the Bible tells us in Mark 14 that Peter spoke more vehemently, meaning he became angry. How can Jesus even say that? He said, I'm willing to give my life for you. And the other disciples said so. Peter chose not to be smart. Because the truth is, if Jesus said something, he's not joking. Peter should have said, Master, please, what can I do that I will not deny you? Are you seeing that?
Yes, Pastor.
That's what he should have said. In fact, in Luke 22, Jesus had said, Peter, Satan had, planned to sift you, but I have prayed for you. So he should have said, Master, what should I do? But he missed the opportunity. He was busy arguing with Jesus. Peter was always arguing in love. Do you understand? He loved Jesus, that's why he argued with him. Okay? Then, Jesus is arrested. And Peter, wanting to prove that he can die for Jesus, the other disciples ran and went far. Peter ran and stayed close and started following Jesus. Why? He had decided he would not abandon Jesus in this place.
Yes, Pastor.
Besides, Jesus was a miracle man. So there must be some miracle here. Do you understand? So he wanted to be present. What if Jesus needed help? While they were taking Jesus, he could have said, "Now I'm tired." Peter would have said, "Master, I'm here. Should I start cutting ears again?" So that was his plan. But not knowing that in his wisdom, he was about to implement God's wisdom, which is the word of God. So he followed Jesus to Caiaphas' palace. And that's where the denying started. Until he denied Jesus the third time. And the cock crew. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. My point is, if he had understood, at least tried to understand what Jesus was saying, instead of arguing with Jesus, that would not have happened. Because when you read the prophets, there is no prophecy that anybody should deny Jesus. There is a prophecy that he will be betrayed. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
There's a prophecy that he will be killed. Different prophecies, but for denial, none. So Peter could have said, "Master," understood what Jesus said, and saved himself from that. Now we use him for example every time. He could have saved himself from that useless example. But he didn't. Praise the Lord. He didn't. He was too busy arguing. So God has a plan for your life. There's a future God has seen. And so he brings the word. He sows the word inside of you so that by the time you get to that bus stop, that word will produce results and you would win. But there's a seed strategy. He uses the seed strategy too. Because that's why he's sowing the word. Satan also has his seed strategy. To take the word of God at the stage of the seed and so influence the results in your life. But say, not me.
Not me.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And that's why Paul said in Colossians 1 verse 9, look at it. He says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and what? Spiritual understanding." Paul is saying, this is our prayer for you, that you know God's will in wisdom, all wisdom, and spiritual understanding. Meaning that the word of God you're hearing, you will understand it. You would have spiritual understanding of the word. That's what produces fruit in your life. When you understand it, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So, look at the seed strategy concerning the word of God that you hear. You guard the word at the seed stage. Are you in this place?
Yes.
You do. You don't let Satan steal the words from your heart. After he says, those that hear the word of God and keep it. Keep it. Let's go there. Luke 8, verse 15. Verse 15. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Look
at it. He says, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart haven't heard the word, keep it." Meaning you don't let it go. You don't let gist after service take the word from you. He says, in an honest and good heart. You don't forget it. You don't say, what do you let service? Oh, everything that they say, I already know. No, you're arrogant. You keep the word. He says, and bring forth fruit with what? Patience. Meaning that you might not see an opportunity to test the word tomorrow, but still keep the word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord. He says, having heard the word, keep it. And bring forth fruit with patience. So when you receive that seed, you guard it. You guard the seed. I told you the seed stage is more important than any other stage. Of course, Satan will come at every other stage. Doesn't have a job. But the seed stage is more important because that one seed has so many potentials. And if Satan can steal that one seed, he's stolen everything. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's look at something else akin to a seed. Go to 2 Corinthians 9. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm closing. Have you learned something?
Yes, Pastor.
Verse 6, let's look at verse 6. Something else, because a seed, are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
A seed is general, all right? There is a principle of a seed. Once it's a seed, it will follow the same pattern. If it is sown, it is expected to grow. Once it's a seed, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So it says the word of God is a seed. So when God gives you the word, he expects to produce results in your life. Then look at this, verse 6. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
It says, but this I say, He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. What sparingly? You too. At times when you read something, ask. Sparingly is not a common word we use. How are you doing? I'm feeling sparingly. Nobody says that. So you to ask, what is it? Before you think it's something else. Okay, sparingly means sparsely. Okay. Sparsely too is big. But, you know, let's say wedding ceremony, someone is dancing, and you have a person that comes with dollars in bundles and just sprays. Okay, the person is spraying bountifully. They have a person that has 210 naira and comes, doesn't spray, takes the money, touch the face. Touch the face again. Not spraying anything. That person is doing sparingly. Do you understand? All right, praise the Lord. So scarce. Okay, you know that one. So he which soweth scarce. All right. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you in this place?
Yes, that's
say,
right.
He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also. So what is he talking about? Is he talking about, should we all be farmers? We should all be farmers. But Jesus was the carpenter. So we should all be carpenters. Go to verse 7. Every man, according as he proposeth in his heart, so let him what? Give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful. So now he's likening giving to seed. Are you seeing that? He says, when you give, it's a seed. When you do good to someone else, it's a seed. Go to Galatians 6. When you do good, it's a seed. That, remember, every seed is expected to produce results that will have more seed. Galatians 6. All right, thank you. Galatians 6, verse 7. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 7. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, thou shalt he also what? Yeah, people normally use this to say, don't be an evil person. But what he's talking about here is doing good. Verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Are you seeing that?
Yes,
he says, for in due season we shall what? Reap. So what's the seed there? Well-doing. He said, you sow the seeds of doing well, and then in due season you what? Reap. That means that, he says, if we fade not, remember, with patience. But that means that when you're good to people, listen, I told you, God sees the future. All right? He sees the future. And so, in that future, you might be in a position where you need help. All right? You need help. You need favor. You might need money. You might need a knowledge of the word of God in 2024. And he sees it. So in 2022, he gives you seed. He tells you to sow. So in 2024, you what? You reap. So if you're good to someone in 2022, 2024, it might still be that person that will be good to you or someone else. There are people that nobody ever favors them. Why? Because they don't show favor. They don't help. And they're not even expecting help because they don't help. He's saying, doing well. He says, go back to 2 Corinthians 9. He says, in due season we shall reap. Wonderful. 2 Corinthians 9. He says, he will swear sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he will sow it bountifully, shall reap also bountifully. Verse 7. Every man as he proposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Verse 8. And God, as a response to the giving, are you seeing that? He says, and God is able to make all grace. All grace. Abound towards you. Oh dear. I mean, it's just you they're favoring. They give everybody money, 500, 500. They give you 2,000. He says, God is able. He's telling you what God can do. He says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. That ye always, having all sufficiency in all things. He says, in everything, you would always be sufficient. He said, that is what God can do with your life. He says, may I abound to every good work. But it starts with the seed. Remember, I told you the seed should produce results. This is the result. But it starts with the seed. Verse 9. As is written, he had dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth. He's talking about me. That's the giver. He says he gives. His righteousness remaineth forever. Verse 10. Pay attention to this. We're ending now. Verse 10. He says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your what?
Righteousness.
There's a miracle here. Did you see the miracle? PK, you saw the miracle. What's the miracle? Multiply your seed sown. How is that possible? If you sow one seed, it's one seed. Seed doesn't multiply, it is fruits. Are you in this place? But he's telling you that the one who gives you seed has plans to multiply it. Meaning that the expectation you have from that one seed, which can become a tree and become many fruits, God plans to multiply that seed. So you planted one, but it's three that is working on the ground. It is four that is working on the ground. But look at this. And listen, so Satan attacks people at the seed stage because he sees what God can do with their finances. So he stops them at the seed stage. I'll show you in the word of God. Look at this. He says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. There's something PK shared last year, and I keep saying it every time because it blessed me so much. When you take fruits, let's start with fruits, right? Or whole foods. You're not expected to eat everything. When you take yam, there's a part you don't eat. Not because you want to be nice, because it's bitter. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
If you like, fry it, you regret it. I know. All right? When you take oranges, you don't eat the seeds. Even if you do, it will not taste nice. In fact, eating the seeds will influence the taste of every other good thing you have taken. So when you get fruits, there's always a part you're not supposed to eat. You are supposed to sow. Else, imagine if we didn't have farmers in this world. If everybody ate everything they were given. No, think about it. If every yam in this world, everybody decided we're going to eat all the yams, and nobody went back to sow the head, what do you think will happen? No more yam. No, there'll still be rice. Even rice. Do you understand? Some are edible, but you don't eat them. If you're smart and you look at the future, you don't want to be hungry in the future, you sow them. You think with God. You think ahead. Praise the Lord. So he said, look at it. When God gives you things, he gives you seed and bread. Now you have to be wise. Which is bread? Which is seed? And you know what? Most times, if you're a wise farmer and you have a harvest of oranges, some oranges are terrible. Even though they are big, they taste terrible. Have you seen oranges like that? I have seen oranges like that. Big, wicked oranges, all right? Some taste very sweet. If you're smart and thinking of the future, which seed would you sow?
This one.
Would you say, no, this one is very sweet. Let me take everything, no? We'll sow the bad ones. That means you have planned for your future. You'd always have bad seed, bad fruits. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So he's saying the seed stage, even in finances, remember we said the theme of this month is healing. All right. Even in finances, don't let Satan attack you at the seed stage. Now you want to give. But Satan says, don't. You don't even have before. But you manage. He's so wicked. You don't even have before. I told you guys. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If you don't have enough, don't you plan to have more? If a farmer had just one orange and he plans to have more, what should he do? Sow the seed. Not complain. Sow the seed. If someone has one tuber of yam and he wants to have more, what does he do? He don't say, it's only one I have. Let me just measure. Let me save it. Let me put it in a cupboard. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Is that what he does? No. You want to have more? What do you have? What do you have? You see that? What do you have? So I said, God sees the future. He sees the future. Right now, listen. Let me give you an example. Let's say this year, December, you have a bill of 50 million naira. Say amen.
Amen.
Yes. I don't mean someone will give you. I mean, you have to pay 50 million naira. It's good. For you to get to a point where you'd have to pay 50 million naira, it means you are big. All right? And you have to pay it. Do you understand? All right. But you don't even know because it's January. January, you're still managing 2.5. Okay, 2,300. UBS has collected your own. So you're still managing it. You don't know. But God knows. And at that stage where you need the 50 million naira, you don't need seed. You need harvest. So it tells you plant what you have now. Give what you have now. Look at that parable of the prodigal son. The Bible says, go to Luke 15. The Bible says he spent all that he had. I told you last week, what a fool. He spent everything. He didn't give one thing. So the Bible says no man gave unto him. Because Jesus said in Luke 6:38 that if you give, men will give to you. But he spent everything. He's like that farmer that eats all the fruits and doesn't sow. He's like that person that gets money and never gives. Doesn't do good to others, doesn't give to God, nothing. Eats everything. Now you're broke. But not you.
Not me.
Prodigal son spent everything. God says nobody gave to him. When he spent, he had friends. But no one gave to him. So Satan comes at the seed stage always. You don't know the potential of what you're giving, but he does. By the time you give that money, and then you have 1 million, he can't attack all the 1 million. Because for some of you, you buy Bitcoin. You give someone else to save. There's Piggy Vest. So he can't attack everything. Are you seeing that? Are you in this place?
Yes,
no, there's some of you, if I gave you 1 million, 2 seconds. Not because you're wasteful, but because you have distributed it. Take 50,000 naira. Just hold it. Piggy Vest, 100,000. Then you dig ground, put 200,000. Then you put a half conco. 20,000 naira there. Then you buy Bitcoin. Even Satan is wondering what is all this. So he has to attack one by one by one. Right? Because it's now a lot. But instead of waiting till 1 million, he comes at the seed stage. So you don't have that much. So no more confusion. No much confusion. So think about this. Go to Luke 21 verse 1. I said Satan comes at the seed stage, not just for the word of God, but for your givings also. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you in this place?
Yes,
You're planning to go and study outside the country and their fees in pounds. You know, at times it just enters my head just for the fun of it. I say, you know what? Let me do online degree certification in biology from Harvard. I'll be in my house in Nigeria after all. And I go. And very nice, they say, apply. So I press apply. Then you read life story. All right? They say, so many semesters, you choose a good time. Just making me feel good. Ha! After this, I'm going to be a virologist. Great. Then pay. And I see 21,000. In Naira? No. In dollars. Then you calculate. So you mean... to watch something on TV. I'm going to pay this amount of money. When I can go into real estate, okay. Jesus said, I heal the sick. That's all the biology I need. All right, my point is, you might look at the future because you have to think with God. And there's an amount of money that even you, if you start saving your allowance from now, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm almost done, so let me digress. When I was 7, me and my colleague, we checked the price of a private jet. And then we concluded, there are some people, if they save all their salary from now till 20 years, they'll not be able to buy this thing. So you look at the future, you have bills to pay. And the truth is, the money you have, even if you save it, there's some of you save 30,000 every month. It's still 360, it's not up to 1 million. It will take 3 years before it reaches 1 million plus. So what do you need? You need a miracle. You need a harvest. That one seed can become a tree that would have fruits and other seed in it. Are you seeing that?
Yes, Pastor.
So you're smart. So you give. This is not someone trying to take your money from you. This is you planning your future with God.
Yes,
with the principles you've seen in the Word of God. It's between you and God. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
When I was in school, I gave. I don't know what they were doing with my money. Because my business is not with them. It is God that sees me that I'm giving to. Look at Luke 21, verse 1. He says, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. So Jesus went to the offering place and saw people giving gifts. Rich men. So how did he know? You can tell by what they give. Do you understand? Let's say you're sitting in church right now and they share envelope and you bring your own, you squeeze it, sounding crack, crack. Why? Because it's plastic, 10 naira, 20 naira, 15 naira. And you put it. Nobody should see your money. All right? And someone else just brings out dollars in bundle and put it. He said, that one is rich. Are you in this place? So you can imagine what they were given. So he says, saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. He was looking at them. Verse 2. I remember we went for this finance convention when I was in school. And my friend that I went with, we didn't sit in the same row. He told me that when he saw the check the person sitting by him wrote, he became humble. He felt like sitting on the ground. Because we went, and then even going back, we had to do for free ride. So he said he felt so humble. All right, verse 2. Jesus, he saw a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. So this man was broke. You could see it. And she was a widow. She had no husband. You know, there are people in Lagos and Nigeria and all over the world. That they see a lady with a car or stuff. They think it's her husband that got it for her. So even if she gives her car, they say, ah, the man will buy another one. This one was a widow. Meaning whatever she was giving, there was nobody at home to replace it. Verse 3. And Jesus said, of a truth I say unto you, he's talking to his disciples, that this poor widow had cast in more than they. Go to Mark 14 or Mark 12. I like the way Mark puts it. Last verse for today, I promise. Mark 12. Mark 12, verse 41. 12, verse 41. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I've closed. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. Verse 42. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. So she, 1, 2. Do you understand?
Yes, it
wasn't 3, it wasn't 4. 1, 2. Verse 43. And he called unto him his disciples. Jesus saw this woman, and the first thing he did was to boast about her. He called his disciples, said, come, Peter, come and see something. And said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Verse 44. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Meaning what she gave was of more value than what they gave. He says, all her living. I look at this verse many times. He wasn't joking. Meaning that after she put these 2, she had nothing to go back home to. She didn't have any savings. Are you in this place?
Yes,
nothing. All right. Verse 45. There's no verse 45? Verse 46. There's none. That's where it ended. Isn't this wickedness? Jesus admits that this woman has given everything she has. What do you think he was a nice guy he should do? He should call her back. Say, madam, madam, come, come, come. Pick the two. Pick it. Keep it. Peter, Judas, give her something. Sorry, yeah? Sorry. Go and prepare food for the family. He didn't do that. Because he will not stop her at her seed stage. Because there's fruits. He didn't do that. Because giving someone doesn't help their situation. There are many beggars, they've been there for a very long time. Until they get to a point where they can give, then they'll come out. He didn't stop at her seed stage. She left. She went home. This was God himself. He didn't say, "Auntie, come on. I've seen it. I've seen what you have done. You tried, you tried, you tried, you tried. Take back your money." No. No, because that is seed. And it's expected to grow and produce a harvest for her. All the only people he called, he didn't call the woman back. He called his disciples. And you know what? She didn't hear him. She didn't hear him praising her. Oh, praise the Lord. She didn't hear him. Jesus was praising this woman. Are you in this place? Setting her as an example for us, because I'm telling you the story right now. But she didn't hear him. She went back home probably thinking God did not see it. But God did. He didn't just see it. He praised it. He recommended it. And for sure, she would have gotten a harvest. Sometimes you give. How can you? In fact, that's even funny. How do you give expecting people to see it and praise you? Between you and God. So you might give. We say, the little that I have, the little that I have. No seed is little.
Yes.
Even though in size, it can be. But the potentials are big. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So don't let anything attack you at the seed stage. When you hear the word of God, when you're giving, when you're showing acts of kindness to others, because that's also a seed. Don't let anybody stop you at the seed stage. Guard your seed stage. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Protect it. At times you say, it's seed time. It's seed time. Why? Because there's a harvest you need. It's seed time. Satan comes and says, don't. Mm-mm. That can't be the voice of God. Because when you give, you receive. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Say, I'm making progress.
I'm making progress.
Say, I see results in my life.
I see results in my life.
Say, nothing would influence my seed stage. You know what? You should use the seed stage for your own advantage. You should use it for your own advantage. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Have you learned something today? Where you are, just go ahead and talk to the Lord and thank you. Thank you. Thank you because you know the seed strategy and you are going to maximize it. Just a time of prayer. Just pray. Pray. Now, for some of you, you've sown seeds already. So what are those seeds with your prayer and confessions? You're praying for strength. Strength of the Holy Ghost. In that seed stage, you're strengthened. No complaints. No taking back your seed from the ground. No listening to Satan talk to you about your seed. But you thrive in that stage. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands towards heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands towards heaven and praise the Lord.